John 16:8. It says, and when he is come, talking about the Holy Spirit, notice the word he, it's not an it. Say, it's not an it.
It's a
he.
It's a he.
So it has to do with a person. The Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it personalizes here. It says, when he is come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that word reprove means convict or conviction. Now we looked up the word conviction, and it means that the Holy Spirit is there to convince those that don't believe that God's word is true. See, I don't have to do the convincing. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the reproving. I am not the one. That word reprove means to convict. And that word conviction, when you look it up, it means what, Evelyn?
That the Comforter or the Holy Spirit will dwell in the hearts of men and convince them of the truth.
He is the one. Look up the word conviction or convinced, Evelyn. And then it says here, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. You see, there's a lot of things that God can't give you all at once. You can't feed a baby meat until he has the milk. But you see, the school of the prophets are for those that are off the milk. And those that are in to the word of God, the meat of God's word. So he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, I'm going to just throw this out to you. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. Now, to those that have understanding, you will get this. He was 600 years old. Why are you telling us that? Because 6 is the number of man. Do you get that? 6 is the number man. Jesus hung on the cross 6 hours. Man was created on the 6th day. We are at the end of the 6th day. And 6 represents judgment, because he was 600 years old when judgment came, when the flood came. Now the Lord kept the door to the ark open for 7 days. 7 days, man had an opportunity to enter in to the ark. So 7 is perfection. 7 is God's number. Judgment is here. And this is what we are facing in the world today. So was it by chance that he was 600 years old? No. God is trying to get something across to you, as it was in Noah's day. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So when you can understand these things, when the Spirit leads you into all truth, right now the door of mercy is open. But when God shuts the door, no, some of you didn't hear me. God is the one that opens the door. And he said, when I open the door, no man is going to close it. But when I close the door, nobody is going to open it. The Lord gives us the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. That meant people that went to church, supposedly separated from the world. And it says in Matthew 25, their 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 that were foolish stayed home on Wednesday because it was colder. But if you have oil in your lamp, if you have oil in your lamp, you hear me? Some people want heat in their house. What we should worry about is heat in our body. We should worry about oil in our lamp. Keep that fire burning. And this is what it says. Five were wise and five were foolish. The five that were wise, they had the oil burning. They could go out on a cold night. They could go out on a stormy night because there was oil in their lamp. The foolish took their lamps, you see, their lamps, but they didn't take the oil with them. We got to stay home. We don't have any oil. Maybe it's cold outside. Are you here? You see, there are those that have lamps, and I'll show you what the lamp represents. It says, all the virgins arose in the seventh verse and trimmed their lamps. If you know anything about lamps, in order to get an even light, you have to trim the wick. If the wick is uneven, the light don't burn brightly. So they said they trimmed their lamps. That meant they got back to the word of God. And that's why the Lord said, start school of the prophets, to get people back to the word of God. So tonight, your lamp, trimming your lamp, the wick that is in there, so your light burns brightly. And the foolish said unto the wise, we didn't make it to school of the prophets Wednesday night, but can you tell us what happened and give us some of that oil? Because that's what it says in the eighth verse. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. People's lights have gone out. They carry their Bible. They say, well, they believe in this holy book. Well, what good is it if you don't have oil? I can always see, you see, I know those that are carrying oil. The wise said, not so. Why weren't you there Wednesday night in the ninth verse? Why weren't you there? Go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. I hope you don't come on a cold, snowy night. It said when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. You see, the door right now is open. But God is getting ready to shut the door. Getting the message? This is what's happening in the world. You see, the vision that Joseph had, it had to do with Pharaoh. And Joseph was in jail. And he has a dream in jail, and he gives the interpretation to the butler and the baker. He says to the baker, you're going to die, buddy. But he says to the butler, you're going to live. Are you getting the message to that? You see, a butler serves. You want to live? Learn how to serve. I'll tell you that again. I said, if you want to learn how to live, learn how to serve. The baker died, but the butler lived. I get a lot of things out of this. Both put in jail. Both had a dream. And Joseph said, one of you are going to die and one of you are going to live. And when the baker got out, the butler got out of jail, you know, all Joseph wanted, he says, you know, don't forget me. You know, you do a good turn for people. Hey, don't forget me. But he got out and now he forgot. He forgot what Joseph had done for him. But Pharaoh had a dream and it came to his remembrance. You see, God knows how to bring, he knows how to convict. And that means not the word convict to condemn people. The Holy Spirit ain't coming to the world to bring condemnation. The way some preachers preach, they say, well, he's reproving the world. Well, that word reprove means to convict. It doesn't mean condemn. Somebody say, it doesn't mean condemn. We're under condemnation. Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be what? You're already under condemnation because the death penalty is on your life. So Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. Holy Spirit has come to bring life. Holy Spirit has come to convict, and there's a difference between convicting and condemnation. So Joseph now is called out of prison, and he gives Pharaoh the interpretation of the dream. I said, Pharaoh, I'm going to tell you what that dream means that you had. He said, there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And then he said to Pharaoh, the reason why your dream was doubled was because it was of God. I've had people say, I had a dream. Can you give me an interpretation? I said, did you dream it a second time? They said, no. I said, then, well, you went to bed full of roast beef and unbelief. How many of the ones God will give it to you a second time? That's why it says, if it's important, don't worry if you have a dream. If it's important enough that God wants you to have the interpretation, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Are you getting it tonight? Amen. I'm not concerned. Some of the dreams I have are the Looney Tunes. I dream some wild dreams. Can you say amen? Wild people dream wild dreams. Can you say amen? Amen. If you ain't had a wild dream, that's because you're no wild. Amen. Pharaoh, you had the dream twice. And the reason why you had it a second time, because God is going to get a message through to you. What does the word convict mean?
It means to convince and to bring one to the realization of truth.
That's what the word reproof means. God ain't there with the Holy Ghost condemning people. But some people like to be condemned. How was Jonah thrown into the ocean, Barry?
He was thrown into the ocean because he was in the bottom of the ship sleeping. And everybody else was calling upon their God. And he was a scoundrel, I'll tell you what.
And what did they do? How'd they find out who was the one who was causing the trouble?
They drew straws.
They drew straws. You know what they do? It meant they shot dice. What'd they do, Barry?
They drew straws.
Thank you. And what happened?
He lost.
He lost. How'd they choose the one to take Judas's place?
They shot dice.
They shot dice?
Yeah.
How's it read? Do you remember?
In the Living Bible, they shot dice.
In the Living Bible, it says they shot dice. Oh, Pastor! Get your book out. People don't like that. Come on, 7-Eleven. That's the 7-Eleven stores. Come on, 7-Eleven. Are you there? They shot dice to pick someone to take the place of Judas. But you don't hear of that one because God did the choosing, and it was actually the Apostle Paul that God chose that took the place of Judas on the road to Damascus. You see, you can shoot dice, you can draw straws, you can think you're doing the choosing, but God has the last word. Even though they shot the dice to take someone, get someone to take Judas's place, it was actually the Apostle Paul that was the one that God chose. And Paul said, he separated me from my mother's womb. And not only that, on the road to Damascus, the Holy Spirit convicted him, brought him to the knowledge of truth. And he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? You see, an intelligent person, when you come up to face truth, will say, yes, I've been wrong. But an ignorant and a stupid person will fight the truth. I'm just telling you what it is. Think how intelligent you are tonight. So, well, I don't have a degree. You got a degree. You're an LLDD. You know what an LLDD is? You are long-legged devil destroyers. Got your degree tonight. LLDD. Say long-legged devil destroyer. That's your degree that you have. Lord said, you shall tread on serpents and scorpions. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Amen. We're living in 2004. You don't have to worry about the flu bug. Because the Lord said, nothing by any means shall hurt you. I'm giving you God's word. I'm putting some vaccination. You're getting vaccinated with the Holy Spirit tonight. Can you say amen? You see, the ones that have their oil, when their oil runs out, you know, they got to help God out. But when you have oil in your lamp, when the bridegroom comes, I said, you're ready to be with him. You've been vaccinated. Can you say hallelujah? There is a mark on your life that makes you different. You are a marked person when the Lord chooses you. Oh! And if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Because the Lord said that the blessings come with what? The blessings come with what? Devil wants to put you down, but you're a marked person. And when you are marked, in spite of what Lucifer tries to do, your oil is not going to run out. he's trying to plug up the oil well. Amen. But when you're a marked person, I said your oil never runs out because it is given to you by the Holy Spirit. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can you say hallelujah? I got oil in my vessel. Can you say hallelujah? It's the quickening power. I read yesterday in Romans the 8th chapter. That the Holy Spirit is there to make you alive. The Holy Spirit is to quicken these mortal bodies. Let me read it to you. Romans the 8th chapter. You got your Bible. Turn, and it says here in 11th verse, but if the Spirit of him raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. How many believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, it says, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, think of the power in the grave. Holy Spirit comes in the quickening power and raises Jesus from the dead. That's what the Spirit is for. It's to put oil in your lamp. So when it's cold out, you can say, praise the Lord. Don't tell me how cold it is. I don't want to hear about that. Doesn't affect me one bit. When it's hot in Florida, I don't want to hear how hot it is in Florida. I'm going to be in an air-conditioned car. I'm going to be in an air-conditioned home. I'm going to be in an air-conditioned building. I said, when it's cold out, I'll put on an extra coat. But I got oil in my lamp, so it don't bother me whether it's hot or whether it's cold. People let weather affect their lives. Weather is not going to affect my life. Amen. Amen. If I don't have air conditioning, the Lord has a built-in air conditioning system, perspiration. The reason why you perspire is to keep you cool. And the reason why elephants have such big ears. Hello? The reason why elephants have big ears, it's their air conditioning system. Because there's a lot of blood you got to cool down. So in those ears, there's a lot of tiny vessels. And that's why the ears are big, and that's why they flap the ears. Because while the blood is going through the ears, it's cooling their blood down. I wish somebody would say hallelujah. God has a way to keep you cool, and God has a way to keep you hot. Can you say hallelujah? God brought the children of Israel through the wilderness. It said he kept them during the day from being not getting a heat stroke by a pillar of cloud. He covered them in the day with a cloud, and at night when the temperature drops in the desert, about 40 or 50 degrees, it said there was a pillar of fire. He had air conditioning during the day, and he had fire at night. Can you say hallelujah? and a pillar of fire at night, and air conditioning during the day, a cloud. Can you say glory?
Glory!
I get excited about this. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells in you, it'll quicken. He makes you alive. Everybody says, make me alive. Quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells within you. You want the fountain of youth? Come here to the tabernacle. Hello? Hello? I said, you want the fountain of youth? Amen. God will give you an attitude adjustment also. Hallelujah. They used to call it the happy hour. Now they call it attitude adjustment. And alcohol depresses you. You get oppressed by alcohol. Here, the Lord takes the oppression and he gives you joy. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. They don't have to give you any salty peanuts either to make you drink more. Hey, there's a catch to everything. I put peanuts there so you eat the peanuts and you drink more. I said, oh, they give you little pretzels with salt on it. There's a method. What do you think? They're giving you that for nothing? They figure that'll get you to drink more. If you have a little salt, you're going to drink a little more. So they put all these little things out for you to keep you thirsty. But you see, when you got a fire burning, I said, when you have a fire burning with inside of you, I said, you have the understanding. It quickens you. It makes you alive. And when you're alive, it means you have understanding. Amen. If you live after the flesh, you're going to die. You're worried about your flesh, about being cold, about catching a cold. Hello? About getting sick, worried about tomorrow. It says, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. There are times you got to talk to yourself and say, flesh, mind your own business. I wish somebody would say, praise the Lord. You got to talk. When you feel the pain in your body, you got to say, flesh, mind your own business. You got to let the Spirit talk to the flesh. It says you got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. What does that word mortify mean, Evelyn? Look it up. It says, if you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you do it? Talk to the pain. Say, pain, go. Talk to your poverty. Say, poverty, go. Peter said to Jesus, how are we going to pay our taxes? The Lord said, go fishing. Go fishing? Well, you're a fisherman. That's been your livelihood. You caught fish, didn't you? So you'd have money to live. Now catch a fish to have money to pay your taxes. But Lord, you know, I don't have any nets. He said, yeah, let down your hook. Just do what I tell you. He lets down his hook. And he catches a fish, and guess what? There's money in the fish's mouth. The Lord knew the money was going to be there. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. This is it. The Lord said, Peter, just keep the fire burning. Stop trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. There's going to be money in the fish's mouth. Just let down your hook. And when you let it down, there was a fish. One fish. That's all it takes. One fish, ladies. One man, ladies. One fish. Somebody didn't say amen. That should make you want to shout. Can't you say praise the Lord? Amen. You ladies got to learn how to fish. Are you here? What do you get for mortify?
Mortify means to put to death the manner of living. That's what deeds of the body is.
Put to death what?
Your manner of living.
Your manner of living. Stop pampering your flesh. Amen. feel sorry for your flesh. He says, don't feel sorry for your flesh. Tell your flesh you're dead, and dead people can't talk back, can they? Amen. I wish somebody would say hallelujah. I said, dead people cannot talk back, can they? That's why it says mortify it, stomp on it. Say, listen, you're my worst enemy. Don't blame your neighbors. Don't blame the people at work. Don't go blaming other people for your problems. Blame yourself. Amen. If you get yourself in the right, if you get the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in you, you're going to be quickened. In spite of your adversity and what's going on around you, you're going to rise above it. The same way Jesus rose from that grave. Out of all that adversity, the stone was rolled away, and there were angels there, and they said to those that came looking for him, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do people like to go to dead churches? Because they're dead. They have no oil. But when you have oil, the flesh is mortified, but the oil keeps you burning. You want to go to a place, amen, where there is life. Can you say hallelujah? They have no oil in their lamps. But when you have the quickening power, when you have the spirit within you, there's the difference. You want to be around lively people. I don't want to be around old people. I said, why don't you put a little white in you? Because I don't want somebody calling me Pop. I wish somebody would praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's what y'all, birds of a feather flock together. Amen. Get away. Get away from those that have lost their joy of living. Are you there? Because what they are, that's going to rub off on you. When the lepers walked down the street, they had to cross the street when they saw people that were coming because they couldn't have any contact with people that didn't have leprosy. They had to cross the street. That's why the lepers cried out and they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. We can't live a normal life. How many know the Lord wants you to live a normal life? They said, Lord, have mercy on us. People don't want anything to do with us. You see, when you're alive, you know you don't go into a room that's contagious, and you go to hospitals that's contagious disease, you're not allowed in the room. You won't go there, will you? You wouldn't go into that room. All right? So why do you hang out with people that bring death into your life?
Amen.
Amen. It's a contagious disease that they got, and I don't want any part of it. Amen.
Amen.
I want to be where there is life. Preaching to you tonight. People say, well, I'm yak your age. I am. The Lord said, except you become as little children, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. I'm acting my age. I'm a little kid. Hello. People don't like it when you have joy. They want you to act old. They want to take from you. They're not going to take my oil. They said to the wise, give us your oil. The wise says, hey, I got my oil. I'm happy. I'm hanging out. I feel young. I feel good. And you're not going to get my oil. Can you say hallelujah? That's what people do. They want to take from you what you have. I said, this is why people cannot be blessed. Because they want what others have. Parasites that live off of what others have gone through in life. Amen?
Amen?
But I got good news for you tonight. We're living off of what Jesus did for us. Can you say hallelujah? And every one of us, he said, I got an inheritance for every one of you. And that's what he told Cain. He says, Cain, why are you angry? My brother, you accepted his sacrifice and he's blessed and I'm not. See, it started right in the beginning. You know what God said to Cain? Why don't you do what's right? And if you do what's right, I'll bless you like I blessed your brother Abel. You understand?
Yeah.
If people have been through what you've been through, then they would be blessed too.
Amen.
Can you say amen? If they've been through what you've been through, then they would be blessed also. And the Lord said, if you do what your brother did, I'll accept your sacrifice. I'll bless you like I blessed Abel. Oh, all right. Okay, God. And he takes his brother out and takes a knife and kills him. Are you there? Because he didn't want to do what was right. That's the same thing that's going on today. But God is saying, there's enough for everybody. See, there's enough for everybody. Amen. God isn't looking to keep anything for anyone. And the lepers cried out. They said, hey, we can't be normal like other people. We need a miracle. And Jesus said, go to Massapequa Tabernacle. Go show yourself to the priest and you heal. So they went to show themselves to the priest. It says, as they went. Say, as they went. They were what? You see, as you do something in life, that's where faith is. Stop feeling sorry. If they were looking at the leprosy, which is a terrible disease, eats away like cancer at your body, eats away the very members of your body, if they were to look at the condition, they never would have went to church. They would have said, Lord, it's too cold tonight. Brother, if you're dying of leprosy, you'd make your way to church. Oh, how are we going to do it? Well, they weren't accepted by society. Well, you're not accepted by those that are around. You can't live a normal life. You're going to find your way to the house of God. Found their way, and on the way, it says they went, they were healed. And the one fellow came back and he said, Lord, look here. He says, I'm healed. He began to give the glory to God. And Jesus says, thy faith has made you whole. He says, not only are you healed of your leprosy, he said, you healed spiritually and you healed financially. How many know when God heals you, he does a complete work? I'll tell you again. I said, when God heals you, he does a complete work in your life. Today is what, the 28th?
Yes.
Add the numbers up from 1 to 7, you come up with the number 28. Is that right? Not 1 and 7, that's 8. I'm talking about 1 plus 2 and as 3, 3 plus 3. Or you add the numbers up from 1 to 7, you come up with the number 28, which is eternal life. 20 in the Bible is redemption. Being born again in John, the 3rd chapter, 8 times. The word born again, born is mentioned 8 times. Add the number 20 to being born again is 8. 20 and 8 is eternal life. I'm here telling you that thank God you got oil in your lamp. And being you're here the last Wednesday of this month, I said you're going to go into the new year blessed. I'm prophesying. I said, I am prophesying what God has said in his word. I'm telling you, according to God's word, prophecy will come to pass. Now, here's another thing that took place, and that's also in the book of Genesis. It says, here, let me get to it. Let me read it to you. Are you here tonight? Good, because I am too. I couldn't wait to get here tonight. Of course, I get excited when I start getting into God's word. Good things begin to happen. Spirit of God begins to move. Amen. Amen. It says here in Genesis 8 and 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth every living thing that is with thee. Now, that was the 28th time in the 15th verse in Genesis 8 and 15 that God spake unto Noah. Look it up. Noah, that's the 28th time that his name is mentioned. He says, now get out of the ark. What was he saying? We're in the ark now, but we're getting ready to get out of the ark. We're getting ready to go into eternal life. You see, they're going to Mars. We're going a little higher to the Mars. We're going higher than the moon. Can you say hallelujah? They're looking for life. We know who the creator is. We're going to the very source. We're going up to a heaven that's higher than Mars, to where the telescopes can't even see. That's the place that we're going. Can you say amen? So we're getting ready. Right now we're in the ark of safety. Judgment is in the world, but we're in the ark. We're getting ready now to get out of the ark. God's going to keep you in the midst of all that is going on. But now we're getting ready. The 28th time God says, now get out of the ark. And they got out of the ark. And this is what God is saying. It's the 28th day. And we're in the ark of safety. But there is a time where God says, now it's time to be set free. Amen. The mortal man is going to put on immortality. No more sickness. No more death. No more will. No more bills. No more car payments. Can you say hallelujah? No more hospitals. No more jails. No more cemeteries. Can you say praise the Lord? I get excited.